Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, thank you, Farad, and welcome to everybody, another episode of Another Day Above Ground. We're happy to be here, we're happy to be above ground, and today we have got a special topic of interest to all baby boomers. You're out of work because you're retired. What are you going to do now? How about starting your own business? But before we get into that, let me introduce my partners on this show. First of all, from the great state of Indiana, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, just looking at the stock market, and boy, it's falling faster than Hillary on ice skates.
And from Denver, Colorado, it's beautiful Carolyn Strauss.
Aw, thank you for that. Yeah, I'm just thinking everything's whittling down. The stock market, the Democratic field, the human race, we're whittling.
The stock market, I am convinced, has developed the coronavirus. It has hit the market, and everything is just going to pot. This virus is hitting people that you never expected. I've been, you know, it's almost time to kick off Major League Baseball. They're all in spring training, and the third base coaches are going, "What do? I can't touch my face." They're completely out of work right there. And I'm convinced, I have a conspiracy theory, is that, you know, with this virus, they say you don't touch your face, you breathe through a mask, or something. The only garment that's going to be really good to protect, the burqa.
Wow.
And who invented that? Maybe that's where the virus came from. We wear these, we're protected.
It's actually, this is the time of year that the Hajj takes place, and they actually showed the great temple, I think it is in Mecca, and there were like five people walking around it.
Really?
Yeah.
Normally it's like a million.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to make a burqa out of antibacterial wipes. There's a business idea. We're going to be talking about entrepreneurship. That's a business idea, sewing together antibacterial wipes into a burqa.
Pants made out of toilet paper.
If you can find any. The only place I find them in the grocery store anymore are in the trash right by the cart.
I got to tell you, in my entire life, I don't think my hands have ever been cleaner than they are right now. I mean, really, every 5 minutes I'm washing my hands, and it's you know, the other day I washed my hands, and then I touched my face, and then I washed my hands again, because, you know, you just can't do that.
I'm actually not paying for manicures, because, you know, the worst thing for a manicure are those antibacterial alcohol wipes, because it dries out the polish, it peels right off. I'll spend $20 on a manicure, and 2 days later, it'll be gone. So you know what? I spent $5 on some quick dry nail polish. I'm doing my own until this virus is done. So another part of the economy that's going to suffer, the manicure salon.
Yeah, you know what? The virus and manicure salons both come from China. Coincidence?
I'm glad to see this has affected you personally, Carolyn. You know, that you can't have a manicure because of the virus, which is killing people.
Well, one thing we learned actually from the virus is that Chinese medicine doesn't work.
Yeah, really. Yeah, suck on this herb. That ain't working, pal.
Or maybe it's because Trump raised the tariffs on gallbladder, bare gallbladder.
All right, so I talked to a friend of mine who is a pharmacist, and she said that 2,000 milligrams a day of vitamin C can actually help boost your immune system. So please check with your doctor before following any medical advice from this program. But hey, it can't hurt. You just pee it out what you don't need.
Well, actually, with vitamin C, it doesn't come out that side.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's too much vitamin C can actually cause diarrhea.
Wow, there you go.
Hey, so.
So, and I have a friend who's a pharmacist, too. He doesn't have a license or anything. But
Speaking of entrepreneurship.
He's Well, entrepreneurism, I guess is the correct noun, is the topic of today. Because as boomers, we find ourselves sitting around, we got extra time. A lot of us are retired. We got extra money. A lot of us saved up before the stock market killed us. And maybe we want to start another business. I got a quick story before we introduce our guest. And that was, maybe 10 years ago, I was approached by a guy who wanted me to come down and do his wife's birthday party. Now, I don't really do birthday parties anymore, so I quoted him the regular fee, and he said, okay. So I found out about this guy is that I met him through the toy industry, and he invented that lollipop that, I don't know if you remember, but you press a button and the lollipop spins around, so you just got to stick your tongue out and the lollipop would spin around, and it was a stupid idea until somebody saw the mechanism and turned it into an automatic toothbrush. Oh. And this guy made kajillions off of that.
I was thinking of something else.
Yeah, I mean, just somebody said, yeah, we'd like to buy that idea. And just, you know, so well, anyhow.
Did you see Carolyn's eyes brighten up?
There's an idea for you, Carolyn. There you go.
It's
a lollipop that spins around. Okay, there we go.
Well, I found an interesting article here. This is fascinating. According to the Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation, the coming entrepreneurship boom, people age 55 to 64 comprise the highest rate of entrepreneurship over the past decade.
It's nice.
That's us, people. That's us. We're number one.
Yeah. According to this article, franchising is proven to be a viable way to pursue business ownership, is that a lot of baby boomers are getting into franchising because that way, you know, you don't, it's already there. It's already telling you how to make the, how to do the business. The one they recommend here is Batteries Plus, is that you can open your own battery store.
And, I've been to one.
And yeah, so all you need is the money to get that started.
Yeah, I've been to one of those, and it's run by an older guy who kept saying, "What?" Because apparently he ran out of batteries for his hearing aid. But
I was just thinking the amount of money I'd save if I owned my own. Stop.
Well, here to give us real answers about real issues is our special guest. We have Neil Ball, who hosts the podcast The Entrepreneur Way. And since we're talking about entrepreneurs, we figured what better expert to have on the show. Neil is from Bolton, England. And I'll be honest with you, Neil, I don't know where that is.
No, it doesn't surprise me. It's actually neat. You might have heard I'm about 15 miles away from Manchester.
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
Yep.
They have a soccer team, don't they?
I've heard they have, yeah.
Okay, that's what I've heard of.
I've worked in Manchester. I have been there.
Have you really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they served me a plowman's breakfast. Oh my God.
I think if I'm not wrong, Morrissey and the Stone Roses are both from Manchester.
You are very, very correct on that. In fact, there used to be a whole movement of music from Manchester at one point.
Yeah, the Manchester Sound.
Manchester Scene or something now. The Manchester Sound, yeah.
Yep.
I don't know what happened to that, but I don't think it's there anymore.
It faded with the Stone Roses.
Neil, we're talking about baby boomers, and we're talking about becoming an entrepreneur, because a lot of baby boomers, they're retired now. They're looking for something to do. They may have saved up the money that holds back a lot of entrepreneurs, the startup capital. What suggestions do you have for a baby boomer that wants to start a business?
It's too late.
Thanks, Neil. Thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast. We loved having you. You take care. Bye-bye.
Podcast that's dedicated to honesty.
You just blew the whole first half of the show there, Nick.
There are, however, some exceptions that actually find that it's not too late. I mean, if you take Colonel Sanders, for example, he started at the age of 62. You've got Ray Kroc, who started at the age of 52. There's been, I mean, Bernie Marcos, who started the Home Depot, as you call it. I call it Depot, but you call it Depot. He started that at the age of 50. So
anybody in this millennia?
There is actually Arianna Huffington. She started at the age of 55.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So there's lots of really prolific entrepreneurs that actually started late on. So it really isn't too late. I was actually being a bit tongue-in-cheek there, just in case you hadn't noticed.
Yeah, Arianna Huffington made her first million by starting with 5 million.
Exactly. You see, so if you've got 5 million, you can make another million.
Not today. Not with what the market is doing today. No.
Yeah, stock market here in the U.S. is down about 1 million points today. So, you know, it'll be fine.
Yeah, the world's gone crazy, hasn't it, over this virus thing? I don't know.
So what do we need to do? You know, I'm a baby boomer. I'm sitting at home and I'm saying, I want to start a business. What's my first step? Determining, I guess, what kind of business?
I think that's pretty important. But actually, it might not necessarily be the first thing you could do, because even if you've not figured out what you want to do, if you think you want to create a business, then just the very thought of thinking about it can start setting the wheels in motion of things that you can do. So you could start reading books about setting up a business and getting to learn about some of the things that you need to do, because I think a lot of the mistakes that a lot of people make in business are actually avoidable if you learn what to do before you make the mistakes, then you're much more likely to succeed. So reading about it is a really good starting point. Listening to podcasts, The Entrepreneur Way would be a good place to go. You could listen to other people who've done it. You could listen to other podcasts that are very similar. That's another way of doing it. Maybe you could go and join some meetup group or something with other people who want to do that kind of thing and get involved with other people, network with other people. There's also the possibility of maybe starting to look at your own network and seeing if you've got one. I mean, first of all, if you're on LinkedIn, it's a great way of connecting with people. I mean, I probably found you, Dale, through LinkedIn in the first place. So by having a network on LinkedIn, you can start to use your network and try to find ways of getting people to help you, maybe. And having a coach, I think having a coach is a really useful thing to do. So all of those things are things that you could do before you even know what you want to do. But the question is, what do you want to do?
Exactly.
I want to go back here to something you just said. Having a coach. Can you expand on that a little bit? What do you mean by that? Like a life coach or someone to make you do push-ups? I don't.
Well, it's a bit like doing push-ups, isn't it? I mean, you know, sometimes it's not always pleasant. Sometimes it's a bit painful. Sometimes you don't feel like doing it. It's very, very similar to doing push-ups. Sometimes you think you can only do 5 and actually you could do a few more. Or maybe if you do them more often, you get better at it. So, but if you think about anybody who's in sport, for example, most famous, well-known sports people have coaches, and those people will help them and tell them what they need to do to get better, or they'll help them to make the right decisions so that they improve what they're doing, whatever the sport is. Similarly, and I think in business, having a coach can be a very useful thing, because the coach can start to get you to think about some of the ways that you could find the business that suits you best, for example. So even if you didn't know what you wanted to do, with a coach, you might be able to uncover what that thing is that you want to do and the steps that you need to go through to get to do, to create that business. And they could even support you along the way as you did that.
So you mean like a life coach?
Could be a life coach. Could be a business coach.
Where would you find a business coach? I'm not familiar with that concept.
You would
concept.
Call me. Hello. Oh my God. Do you guys not know me at all?
It sounds like Caroline's got the answer to this. How would we do this, Caroline?
My niece is getting married, so I know where to find a pumpkin coach.
A pumpkin coach. Wow.
I love a good Cinderella reference. Gotta love a good Cinderella reference. No, what I say all the time is to entrepreneurs, look, you don't know what you don't know. That's first. Yeah. And you can't see the jar of mayonnaise from inside the jar. So you need somebody from the outside to take a look at what it is that you're thinking about doing and then going to do it. But I have not really worked with baby boomers. I mean, most of the clients that I do consulting and coaching for, Neil, are in their 30s and 40s. So what are you seeing the kind of businesses that baby boomers are starting and being successful at?
Well, you've got a chicken franchise, you've got a burger franchise.
So franchises are big for baby boomers because, you know.
They probably are, actually.
The structure is set up for you. You know, it requires a good seed money. But if you wanted to get into the fast food or any kind of franchise market, those opportunities are there.
I think the thing is when you've been in, you've lived life for however many years and you've had quite a bit of experience of working for other people, you have a lot of the skills that you probably need to create a business. Because one of the drawbacks for somebody who's young is they've often not had that experience. So they have to work through the school of hard knocks, and that could be quite expensive. You've also got potentially leadership traits, you know, just going through your own life. You have to lead yourself, but you've probably brought up kids and you've had a family, and maybe you've had responsibility in your job. So you've had roles where you've actually practiced doing that thing. You've also got, I think a lot of people, I think one of the other key traits for someone who wants to be an entrepreneur is having a, what I've heard of it being referred to as the adversity quotient, having a high adversity quotient. I think the ability to be able to deal with problems and work under pressure, not always knowing what the outcome's going to be, but always believing that you can get there. I think that makes a big difference. So if you've got that ability, that can help. And it's a good time, if you think about it, it's probably the best time if you're a boomer to actually go and create a business. If you're in your 20s, maybe you're getting to the point where you want to have a family and all of a sudden you've got to provide for a family, whereas you've maybe gone through all of that. You're not having to think about all of these things. Maybe you've paid off your house and you don't have to pay the mortgage anymore if you've got a mortgage. So the potential opportunities are there. You've got the experience. It's probably the best time to do it. And actually, out of when they've done surveys to find out how many people, what kinds of people want to create businesses, there are more boomers who want to create businesses than anyone else. So
exactly.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
And now is the time to do it because you don't have as many cares. You don't, you're not raising a family. Your family hopefully is kicking a couple bucks back to you every month. But it's never too late. Whatever your idea, I was once told that do something that you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And that's what it's got to be with entrepreneurism. You got to do something you really love. You know,
I heard marry somebody you really love and you'll never work a day in your life. And I'm
still working on that. Well, love's kind of important if that's your goal. Unimportant if that's your goal.
Like I say, if you marry for money, you earn every penny. But that's a different show.
Carolyn's very lonely if you didn't get that, Neil. And if you're ever over here in the Denver area, you know, for a good time.
I think he was talking about the legalized marijuana in Colorado. That's what
exactly,
he meant.
A good time. Neil, what businesses are standing out right now? Are there any that are, you know, on the cusp of breaking through that might attract baby boomers? Or
right now I'm thinking exterminators, but we'll talk about that in a couple.
Carolyn's sitting under a nest of spiders and she's afraid they're going to erupt down on her. So that's kind of what we're all hoping for, because this is on video, kids, and if they drop, it's going to be a good show.
Well, I think I think that there's a great opportunity in medical research right now. You could try and solve this virus that's flying around everywhere at present. That would be a great opportunity. But I actually don't think that you should necessarily just start a business because there's an opportunity in something. I think it comes down to more than that, because ultimately it's got to be something that you want to do, that you're going to enjoy doing, that right. maybe you've got some experience in or you know something about. Otherwise, it just becomes more difficult. It's not impossible. Of course, anybody can start a business is something that they've never done before. But if you actually know something about it, at least you know what you're getting into. So really, it comes down to, well, is it passion? Is it what you're good at? Or is it what you've got experience at? Because they might not be the same things.
But then there's also, you know, then there's also the problem. I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. Do you realize how many scrapbooking stores have closed in the past 20 years? there's a lot of people that, oh, I love scrapbooking. I'll open a scrapbooking business. And they're not even around anymore. I don't even think you can find a scrapbooking store. But 20 years ago, they were everywhere.
Really? I've never come across a scrapbooking store.
You've got that look like I don't know what a scrapbooking store is.
I really don't.
It was a fad. It was, like I said, it was a fad about 20 years ago, is that you wouldn't just like cut pictures out of, you know, your family and that. You'd actually make like a storybook. And they sold all these wonderful things like puffy butterflies and stuff like that, and that you could stick on all the pages to make them all decorative so that it was people don't do that anymore, I don't think.
I suspect what's happened to that is technology's taken over. I've interviewed people who've got websites that do that kind of thing.
Yep, you can put as many pictures as you want on the computer and never have to worry about where you put the book. You know, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what happened to that. That's
exactly. Yeah, but you got to leave the password of your computer for your children. Seriously, people, put that somewhere. Get Mary Kelly's book of, you know, in case of emergency, and put your password somewhere.
Because no.
I've heard so many stories of people that go into their parents' computer and can't access it because they don't have the password.
No, my search history dies with me.
Of course it
I had my password number, my number tattooed right on my arm, so I never forget it. So, you know, if anybody...
What do you do when you want to change it?
I haven't thought of that. Well, I don't put it on there with, you know, permanently. It rubs off. It's not like a tattoo or nothing. No, it's a Sharpie. Jeez, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, don't talk about tattooing numbers on arms. It's a really bad concept, Dale. That's a bad business.
Now you've taken a funny joke and you've thrown it into history. And, you know,
yeah. What camp were you in, Dale? Password 1234.
And anyhow, we have a guest, my friends. We can't just go off on this.
All right, Neil. So when you interview someone, think back on all of your podcasts that you've done, top five businesses that people over 50 have started and been successful at. Can you remember what they are?
No.
Nothing like we prepare our guests for this.
Normally I don't pay that much attention to people's age when I speak to them. So they could have started at various ages, and I really focus on, I do talk about the person behind the business, but the actual what businesses would you start? I think it really does come back down to this passion thing. What could you do? I think it really comes down to, what would you do that even if somebody didn't pay you to do it, you'd still be happy to do it all day?
It's illegal. I'm sorry.
I'm not quite sure what you're thinking there, but anyway.
It's the one track that you think it is. You know, that's all she's got.
Here's another question. It's really, every year it becomes a little bit harder for a mom and pop to exist in the corporate environment. I mean, retail stores have been put out of business all the time. You know, office supply used to be able to have a little office supply store. You can't do that anymore because the big box has taken that. Restaurants, there's restaurant chains. I mean, where is a place? I mean, do you have to franchise? I mean, that would and join them rather than try to beat them, or is there like an area that you see that people are not where independent businesses do thrive?
I think the thing with it is, I think I get what you're saying there, and I think that the thing what's happening now is that change is changing quicker. If you think about it, people, in fact, some people will say that the only constant in life is change, but in reality, change is changing at a faster rate. So even change isn't constant. And I think, whereas at one time you could stick in one industry and it would just work for a long time, those days have really gone. And I think you've got to be very agile and you've got to be able to adapt to whatever's happening, because whatever you set out to do as an entrepreneur, what you actually end up creating often isn't quite what you thought you were going to do, because when you get into the reality of doing it, you'll find that maybe there isn't quite a fit, you can't quite deliver what you want to deliver, or it's not quite as you expected it. So you have to adapt and you have to change. I mean, obviously the topical things really are things like AI and cryptocurrencies and things like that, but that's not everything, is it? There's still lots of service businesses out there. And I think a lot of people think, well, because AI is coming along, it's going to wipe out everything, but it's going to create all sorts of opportunities at the same time, because if we're not working in some of the industries we're in, then there's going to be new opportunities doing other things that we've not even thought about right now. And I think the franchise model is one possibility, as you say, because the thing with a franchise is ultimately it is a business in a box, effectively. But even the franchise route isn't a guaranteed success. It just improves your chances of success, because franchises don't generally like to have failed franchisees if they can avoid it.
Right.
But I'm sure lots of them do.
And if you open a burger franchise, I guarantee you're going to see the inside of a lot of mayonnaise jars.
Well, there's the other thing, you see. Do you want to create a business or do you want to create a job? Because I think that a lot of people create what they think is a business and it turns out to be that they've just created themselves a job. And actually, it's like a ball and chain around the neck, because they're having to work longer hours than they ever worked before. And they may be earning less money than they earned before, because there's no instant success in business. So you've got to think about, how can you leverage what you're doing, either your money or your time, so that you can get other people to help you to create whatever the value is that you're creating in your business, so that you're not constantly having to work hard all the time, and having to be effectively a slave to your own business.
So you're advocating child labor in sweatshops. Having other people,
you've got it. Yeah.
Hey, there's money to be made there, and for some for some people, that is something that they enjoy doing. So.
they call it spas. They go in there and sweat.
But I mean, if you think about it, how could there be one business or two businesses that would just work for everybody? I think the possibilities are virtually endless. And I think the one thing that's changed now is the possibility of working from home, working with your computer has grown massively. Whereas at one time that might have been something that people wanted to do. There are lots of people who work from home and they never go into an office, or they work with teams that all work remotely. I mean, we're talking to each other and I don't think any of us are in one location, are we? So we're literally talking to each other across the world here. So it shows the possibilities. You can do things that you could never do before.
I don't think there's one person here with pants on.
Hey, I have pants on.
How do you know?
I have some in the closet. But adapting to change, is that not the biggest thing that you see? You have to, because I know from personal experience, when my wife went through the change, I had to really adapt, because, you know, all of a sudden I'm sleeping under this jet fan and it required a lot of adaptation on my part. So if you're going through the change, learn to adapt. That's what we learned here today. Neil, it has been a pleasure talking to you. We really appreciate you being with us all the way from Bolton, England, which is near Manchester, if you people didn't know. And we appreciate the information that you have given our listeners. If people want to get your podcast, how would they go about doing that?
Well, you can get the podcast by going to theentrepreneurway.com. and you'll find my podcast there. You can subscribe on iTunes. I've also got a free magazine as well called Mentors Magazine, which you can download for free.
There's your coaches for you. That's what we need.
Yeah, exactly. If you go to mentorsmagazine.com, you can download that there. And you can also find me on LinkedIn and Facebook and everywhere.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you, Neil Bolton. Thanks for being on.
You're welcome. It's been an honor being here. So thanks,
Neil.
You're welcome. Well, that wraps it up. Hopefully, we've encouraged you to go out and start a business. And we'd really like to thank Neil for all of his help. And we'd like to encourage you to start a business just like we did at anotherdayaboveground.com. Please visit there, and you can not only hear our podcast, you can watch our video, you can read more about us individually, and pretty soon you'll be able to buy stuff there too. But that wraps it up. Any last news from you, Tim?
Yeah, you can visit my business at timslagle.com. It has links there to shows, appearances, and my other podcast, Rule of Three with Bent Washburn and Tim Slagle.
Great. Carolyn, how about you?
I really am a business coach, so you can go to carolynstrauss.com if you need some help starting a business. I really do know what I'm doing. Thanks.
And she prefers male clients. Anyhow, and if you're sitting there thinking, you know, I got something to say. I think I'd like to be a guest on your podcast. Well, my friend, you can. Just go to our website, anotherdayaboveground, all one word, .com. Go down to the little message section. Say, I think I'd like to be a guest. Here's what I have to offer. And give us a way to get back to you. And we will, because we've got even more entertaining guests coming up. And you're going to love all our future shows. So on behalf of everybody, visit DaleIrvin.com for the Friday Funnies. Other than that, any questions? Perfect. We will see you next week.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.